Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here this morning. If we can go ahead and find our seats, we will go ahead and get started. Once you found a seat, go ahead and find a hymnal, and we'll start in song number 274. Song number 274, Come Unto Me, and I Will Give You Rest. Song number 274.
Hear the blessed Savior calling me oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed.
Singing, everybody. Now let's open up the service with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you and we just thank you again for Steadfast Baptist Church, such an awesome church to gather and praise your name and sing unto you, Lord. We love you and we just ask you to bless this church in your son's name. Amen. All right, for our next song, we're going to actually go to our handouts. If you haven't received a handout in your bulletin, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Redeemed. Redeemed. Raise your hand if you don't have a handout. We will make sure one gets to you. Redeemed.
Redeemed, and I love to pray. see his child and forever I am.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you for coming today. If you raise your hand, an usher can bring you a bulletin. If you don't have one, on the front we have our Bible memory verse of the week, Proverbs 31, verse 19. If you are 18 or younger, and you can quote this to myself, Pastor Shelley, or an usher after the Wednesday service, you will receive an ice cream. If you open up your bulletins, on the left side there, we have our service times listed, 10:30 on Sunday morning. 4:30 p.m. is our Spanish service that we have every Sunday, and Sunday evenings at 5:30 p.m. Also, our church has been going through the book of Revelation on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Please make note there of the church soul winning times. All of the church-wide soul winning times meet right here at the building, and then regional soul winning times meet at various locations throughout the DFW area. I know Brother West has been doing Arlington. That's been a really fruitful time, so if you're looking for a really receptive time to go soul winning, love to have you guys come out and meet us at 10 a.m. on Saturdays. Please remember to turn in your soul winning maps to the bin when they're completed, and then make note there of our salvations. Please continue to report your salvations to your captain. If you don't have a soul winning captain, let me know after the service, and I can help you with that. Make note there for our expecting ladies. Please continue praying for them. Also, our prayer list that's updated weekly. Let's make sure we're praying for all those as well. And if you have a prayer request, you're always welcome to send that in at the email address listed there. And just note that every week it's updated. So if you just tell us a prayer request, it'll be in there for 1 week and then it'll be gone. So continue to let us know if you want that to be prayed for on a continual basis. On the back, we have our upcoming events on February 3rd. All ladies are invited to attend a baby shower in honor of Catherine Craker and her baby girl on Saturday, February 3rd from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the church. Nurslings only preferred. Please RSVP to Lauren Milstead and bring a side dish or dessert to share. One thing I forgot to update in the bulletin is it says that the next preaching class is the 10th, but I just got scheduled to preach at OKC that weekend. So the next preaching class is actually going to be on the 17th. And I'll have that updated in the future bulletins. But note that the next preaching class is February 17th. And then, of course, the best news of the bulletin, congratulations to the Gore family on the birth of Travis James Gore, born 1/23/24, 7:43 p.m., 9 pounds, 6 ounces, 22 inches long. Congratulations. Congratulations, grandparents. There you go. All right, that's it for our announcements. Let's go ahead and go to Psalm 126.
All right, that was Psalm chapter 126 in your King James Bible or laminated handout.
Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing?
offering plates are being passed around, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. That's Proverbs chapter number 10.
Proverbs 10, the Bible reads, "The proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so was the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just pray, Lord, that you would bless our entire day here at church, and especially the soul-winning time coming up later. And I pray that you would fill Brother Oz with your spirit and just give him clarity of mind as he preaches to us and enable him to preach the message you've laid on his heart with boldness, Lord, and help us to pay attention and open ears in the room so that we can receive the preaching of your word and apply it to our lives. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Shelley, for allowing me to preach today, and thank you all for being here this morning. Very excited to preach for you guys this morning and evening. And we're here in Proverbs chapter number 10, and let's start reading in verse number 26, where the Bible reads, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." So Observe how in this verse, the authority figure is very irritated by sending someone that's a sluggard. It's like having vinegar on your teeth, right? And maybe some of you crunchy mamas know about this with apple cider vinegar. You know, you put that apple cider vinegar on your teeth too long, it's going to cause issues, right? You don't want to have vinegar on your teeth, having smoke in your eyes. If you've ever been camping and the smoke just keeps following you wherever you go, it's annoying, it's obnoxious, right? And so, you know, God doesn't want to use lazy people. God gets annoyed with lazy people because that's what a sluggard is. I want to give you the definition of the word sluggard and the word slothful, because in the Bible, these two words are consistently used to describe a lazy person. So here's the definition of a sluggard: a person who is habitually inactive or lazy. Look, we all have the flesh, and I'm sure from time to time we all struggle with the sin of laziness, but not all of us are habitually lazy. Not all of us are sluggards. That's someone that is habitually lazy. A sloth is someone who has a habitual disinclination to exertion, laziness, indolence, okay? And so what can we learn, what lesson can we learn right off the bat from Proverbs 10:26 is that God wants to use hardworking people. He doesn't want to send sluggards. Why? Because it'd be like vinegar to his teeth. It'd be like smoke to his eyes. God is not interested in using people that are lazy. He wants to use people that are hardworking. Go to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. While you're turning there, I'll read for you. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." So notice, when God wants to use someone in the capacity of a pastor, that person has to desire the work. Why? Because serving God is hard work. God wants to use hardworking people to serve him. And not just pastors, because notice in Hebrews 10, or Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your," notice, "work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you," not just the pastors, "every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So he's saying, look, God's not going to forget your work and labor of love, and I desire that all of you keep doing that until the end. Verse 12, why? "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Look, if we're going to get blessings from God in this life, if we're going to be used mightily of God, we cannot be slothful. We cannot be lazy. And so the title of my sermon this morning is "Don't Be a Lazy Jerk." Amen. Don't be a lazy jerk. We are living in a time where laziness is just at epidemic proportions in our country. It is disgusting just seeing the fruits of laziness in our nation. And this morning, I want to give you 5 attributes of a lazy jerk. We don't want to be lazy jerks here, so let me tell you what they're like. Number one, go to 2 Thessalonians 3. A lazy jerk refuses to work. A lazy jerk refuses to work. That is the first attribute of someone who is lazy. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, look at verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Notice here Paul is saying, hey, I'm hearing reports that some of you are walking disorderly. What does it mean to walk disorderly? Well, the Bible defines itself in verse 11. It says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly," notice, "working not at all." Busybodies, but are busybodies. So what is this? This is a lazy jerk. This is someone that's refusing to work. What are we talking about? We're talking about the vast majority of the homeless population in America. People that are just lazy jerks, People that not necessarily have a disability that causes them to not be able to work, we understand that. We have compassion for those people. But people who can work that just decide that it's their lifestyle choice to be homeless and to not work. Those people, the Bible says, are disorderly, and we're supposed to withdraw ourselves from those people. Those people are absolute lazy jerks. This is your illegal alien living on the welfare programs of the United States. That's wicked as hell. You don't come to some country and just decide to be a lazy bum and do nothing productive for the society. Get the hell out of our country. That's disgusting. We don't need people like that here. Let me tell you, the migrationpolicy.org has some statistics on illegal migrants of working age. They say that of working age illegal aliens, it says 4% of them are unemployed. But then it says 30% of them are not in the labor force. So they're just playing word games, but really what they're saying is 34% of illegal immigrants of working age are not working at all. How disgusting. Why would we want to welcome people into our country that do nothing? The Bible says, hey, withdraw yourself from that person. It doesn't say give that person money that refuses to work. What a joke. Why would you need to withdraw yourself from these people? Well, keep your place here and go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. You say, you're racist. No, I'm against people that don't work. I don't care what color you are. You come here from a European country and you don't work, get the hell out of our nation. We don't like you here. I don't care what color you are. It has nothing to do with that. Ecclesiastes 10:18. Look what it says. Why would we want to withdraw ourselves from them? Think about this. Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Notice what slothfulness does. It causes things to decay. Laziness will destroy a nation. Laziness will destroy a church. It'll destroy a home. It'll destroy a business. It'll destroy everything that lazy people are involved with. And our nation will be destroyed if it's full of a bunch of people that don't work. And we cannot allow that to happen. We have to withdraw ourselves from these people. Go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. Notice verse 7. It says, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. So they're the good example. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. Think about the Apostle Paul. If you study the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was not paid for his spiritual work. He had the right to be paid for it, and it's totally biblical for pastors and full-time Christian workers to be paid for their work. That's the ideal situation. That's good. But he didn't even use that power. He was working a full-time job and being like the hardest working Christian missionary that's ever lived. Why? To be an example. To say like, hey, this is how you should be. Be like the Apostle Paul. Stay there. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 15:10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. So, you know, God has given us all grace. God has saved us all by grace. We're not saved by any works or any merit of our own. But praise God for people like the Apostle Paul, where when God bestows grace on him, it's not a total and complete waste. Because let me tell you something, people that just get saved and do nothing for God, you're just like the lazy bum that doesn't want to work a real job. You're just like the illegal immigrant that wants to just come into our nation and just live off the teat of the government and not produce anything of value. What's the difference between you and them anyways? Nothing. Go back to 2 Thessalonians 3, look at verse 10. This is what it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Notice, this is the word of God, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. What is Paul saying? He's saying, if you refuse to work, if you refuse to have a job, if you refuse to be productive, you should just starve to death. Yep. Yep. That's what the Bible teaches. And you know what? Shame on any stupid, bleeding heart Christian that would give money to a homeless person that's an able-bodied man. The other day, I was at Chipotle, and I was leaving Chipotle, and on the side of the road, there was two young, able-bodied men that looked like they were my age asking for money. And you know what I did? I drove up to them, I rolled down my window, and I said, Get a job! Amen. And guess what? If everyone was like me, they wouldn't be on the side of the road. They wouldn't be on the side of the road. Because even if just 50% of the people yelled at them, they probably would eventually have some sort of shame convicting their heart, right? But you know what they did to me? They just flipped me off, right? Oh, give me your money. I'm just entitled to it. Screw you, man. You lazy devil. Starve to death. That's what the Bible teaches. Disgusting. Let me tell you something. Look, go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We need people to work today. Proverbs 13, look at verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth. Notice, this person that's lazy, he wants things. He desires things, just like we all do, right? But notice, and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Notice, the lazy person, he desires things, but he has nothing. It doesn't say that he has little, right? Because there's a lot of hardworking people in America that have little. But you want to know why someone has nothing? Because they're a sluggard. Because if you work hard in 2024 in the United States of America, you will have something, even if it's little, even if it's just a humble apartment, even if it's just a humble vehicle that was made in the 80s or something, or in the 90s. I drive a vehicle made in the 90s. Look, you'll still have little, but if you have nothing, it's because you're a sluggard. It's because you refuse to work, and God is not pleased with those people. Let me tell you something. Even if you work a menial job, even if you don't have a lot of skills, even if you aren't necessarily pleased with your line of work, God is happier with you if you just work hard at that job than like these lazy bums that don't work at all. God at least is pleased with you for working hard. Go to Proverbs 24. So number one, a lazy jerk refuses to work. Hey, work hard. Don't be a lazy jerk. Number two, a lazy jerk is habitually messy. A lazy jerk is habitually messy. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful. Who are we talking about? Lazy people. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all, notice, grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. So notice, we go to the possessions of the lazy, which here is described as a field. That's this lazy person's possessions. And how is it described? Thorns have overgrown it. There's nettles all over the ground. The stone wall's broken up. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like soul winning in South Dallas. Yeah. This sounds like soul winning in Duncanville. Yeah. This sounds like soul winning in Cedar Hill. Why? Because they're lazy, a lot of these people. Yeah. Not all of them, but a lot of people that live in extreme poverty, it is because they're lazy. And here's the thing. Let's say that you are poor and you live in one of these neighborhoods, no problem. Why can't you take care of your stuff, though? Yeah. Does being poor prevent you from cleaning up your house? Being poor prevents you from not having a disaster sty. I mean, I was out soul winning yesterday in these apartments, and there was this one door that we knocked, and it looked like someone had like sprayed ketchup all over the door and just like sticky stuff all over the wall and stuff like that. It's like, why does that exist? Because they're lazy, that's why. Because their child makes a mess, and they're too lazy to clean it up. And I'm telling you, it is a common theme. Lazy people are just habitually extremely messy, extremely disheveled, and it doesn't just apply to their home, it applies to other areas of their life, okay? Look at homeless people, they don't have a home, right? But aren't they continually just super messy? I mean, wherever their little domicile is, aren't they just covered in filth, and their poor little dog is covered in filth, and there's trash everywhere, and there's heroin needles, and there's alcohol bottles everywhere. Why? Because they're lazy, that's why. Because they're just habitually messy. Think about how lazy people dress. Have you ever been to Walmart at midnight? It's a sad place. That's a really sad place. You have all these, you know, lazy people walking around with their sagging, sweatpants and their swagging sweatshirt and all this just weird clothing. They're just disheveled. They don't look put together. And it's funny because, like, you look at old footage of America, it's like, you watch like a baseball game in the 1940s and everyone's like dressed like me at a baseball game, right? It's like you go to the store and you're dressed like this. You go everywhere, you're dressed like, you know, nice. And now it's just like all these welfare heads, just zombies, just shoveling through life aimlessly. They can't even get dressed. They're so lazy. They're just messy. How about people who litter? People who litter are lazy jerks. Do not litter. Do not let your kids litter. One day I was out there mowing the lawn of this church, and I saw this jacked up car drive by and just throw a whole bag of McDonald's out of the car, just on the ground, in the street. Wow. Welcome to South Dallas. Wow. You wonder why their neighborhoods are messed up. Because they're lazy, that's why. Yeah. Oh, it's because the police are racist. Shut up, you idiot. Yeah. Yeah. It's because they're lazy, that's why. Yeah. It's because they throw their trash on their streets. Lazy jerks, litter. Here's one that just pisses me off, okay? Put your shopping cart away, you degenerate lazy bum, okay? I almost named this sermon, Put Your Shopping Cart Away, okay? Let me tell you, you could tell a lot from a person that doesn't put their shopping cart away. They have no consideration for anyone else. Someone else is gonna pick up their mess. They're too lazy to walk 2 feet to the stall. They're going to let some car hit it. They're going to let someone walk over it. What a lazy thing to do. Yeah. Put your shopping cart away. Damn. I saw this funny YouTube channel. It's called Cart Narcs. Has anyone seen this? This guy, his whole channel, is he shames people for not putting away their shopping cart. He has like these big magnets that says like, I'm lazy bones. And he throws it on people's cars. And he just says like, oh, put your shopping cart back. Boom, he throws it on their car. Whatever. I'm not recommending you do that, okay? You're going to get shot. But man, you should be ashamed if you don't put your shopping cart back. Why? Because the Bible describes people that are lazy as being messy. And what do we see? Go to a grocery store in a bad neighborhood, and you're just going to see shopping carts everywhere. Just a mess. Just ridiculous. Hey, go to downtown Portland. What do you see? Shopping carts everywhere. Not even in a shopping area. Just everywhere. There's just shopping carts. There's just something about shopping carts and lazy jerks. Put your shopping cart away. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Look, God desires cleanliness. Yeah. It's something God actually cares about. I'll prove it to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Deuteronomy 23, look at verse 9. It says, when the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chanceth him by night, notice, then he shall go abroad out of the camp. Get the uncleanness out of the camp. We don't want the uncleanness in our camp. He shall not come within the camp, but it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. Hey, homeless people, wash yourself with water. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle, more like a shovel, upon thy weapon. And it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself, it's a euphemism for using the restroom, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back, and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee, therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Notice, God wants you to cover the crap because he doesn't want to walk through your camp and it'd be disgusting and unholy. Look, God doesn't want to walk the streets of Portland today. God doesn't want to walk the streets of Seattle today. God doesn't want to walk the streets of San Francisco today. And is it any coincidence that these places are full of lazy jerks? That these people, that these places are full of wicked people that don't follow the Bible? And it just so happens to be that their cities are disgusting, that there's just filth everywhere, that there's just needles and human dung and trash and piss all over the city. You know, maybe the reason God's hand has been taken off the life of these homeless bums is because they're so filthy. Because the Bible says here that the Lord walks through the midst of the camp and that he doesn't want to see any of this filth or he'll turn away from you. So that shows that there's an element of physical cleanliness that God cares about. Obviously, God cares about the inside being clean, but you know what? He also cares about just physical cleanliness too, right? God doesn't want to see that disgusting crap. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10. But look, why are these people so messy? There's something wrong with their heart. There's something wrong with someone that is always messy, and what is it? It's the fact that they're just inconsiderate and lazy. That's what it is. And what would motivate someone to stop being so messy all the time? It's called being considerate. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I'm taking this verse out of context but for the purpose of this sermon, I think it'll make sense to you. Look at verse 24. And let us consider one another. Maybe you should underline that in your Bible. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And obviously the context of this is provoking people to go to church. But you know what? Why don't we just consider other people in every area of our life?
Yeah.
And say, hey, if I'm a lazy jerk and don't put my shopping cart back, you know what that means? That means someone else has to do it, right? If I just throw my McDonald's bag outside of my car in the middle of the road, you know, the worker at Steadfast is probably just going to pick it up. You know, hey, if I just leave my row a complete disaster, someone else is going to have to pick it up for me. What's the problem? Laziness. What's the problem? Not caring about other people, not being considerate. Look, you need to think about other people. Think twice about what other people are doing. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. So number 1, a lazy jerk refuses to work. Number 2, a lazy jerk is habitually messy. Number 3, a lazy jerk sleeps too much. A lazy jerk sleeps too much. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 9. It says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? So the implication here is saying, like, man, you sleep a lot. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, here in the Proverbs, it's just saying, like, man, when are you going to stop sleeping? When are you going to wake up? And just think about homeless people. What are they always doing? Sleeping. They're either begging for food or they're sleeping. Begging for money, taking drugs, or sleeping. Drinking alcohol or sleeping. That's all they do. They're sleeping. It is 11:08 a.m. right now. I guarantee you there are hundreds and hundreds of homeless people in Dallas asleep right now. Why? Because they were up till 3 a.m. doing drugs. Because they don't have a job. And so they stay up all night doing drugs. They stay up all night drinking alcohol, being lazy, making our city dirty, doing nothing for society, and you know what? They're asleep right now. Someone needs to go up to these people and say, hey, how long will that sleep, oh sluggard? Wake up! Get up! Disgusting. Wake up, you lazy bum. Proverbs 10, look at Proverbs 10, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now look, I think we should strive to get good sleep. I'm not against sleep. Try to get good sleep. It's important. It helps us function. It helps our bodies. Sleep is good for you. But sometimes there's seasons in life where you'll get less sleep than others. Because notice, he's talking about, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Look, if you just want to sleep in during harvest, your family is going to lose a lot of food and a lot of money, right? Because think about it. You spent all year long working on this field, watering it, planting it, taking care of the crops, and then now it's time for harvest. You got to go. You got to get that stuff out of the ground, otherwise it's going to spoil, and all of that work was for nothing. All of the money that you put into that is for nothing. I mean, when I lived in Idaho, I lived in a pretty rural area, like southwest Ada County, and it's like those guys that run farms in that area, like it almost seems like they're working like 24 hours a day in harvest. Why? Because if you sleep during harvest, you're just going to lose out on all that work for the year, right? And so look, there's going to be seasons in life where you're going to sleep less than others. And you just have to realize that you have to be okay with that. That's just how it is. You're going to have gathering seasons in your life. Sometimes your family life is going to cause you, hey, you need to sleep less. Sometimes your job is going to be really busy. You need to sleep less. Sometimes you have a big project that you want to take care of, and it's going to cause you to sleep less. You know, sometimes you want to prioritize your life. You know, like say, hey, I want to start going to the gym. Maybe that means you have to wake up earlier, right? And so sometimes in life, you're going to have seasons where you don't sleep as much. That's okay. Hey, don't be lazy and sleep too much. You're going to miss out on harvest. Proverbs 19, flip over a few pages, Proverbs 19. Look at verse number 15. It says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Look, people that sleep too much, it's actually counterintuitive because they just send themselves into an endless cycle of exhaustion. It's like people, they sleep too much, and so they're tired, and so they sleep more, and then they're more tired, and then they sleep more, and then they're more tired. It seems counterintuitive, but if you want to feel energized, you cannot sleep too much. Because what does the Bible say? Slothfulness, just being lazy, just not exerting yourself, It casts into a deep sleep. And look, our bodies were designed by God to go through struggle. Like, if you just put yourself in a pod, you put yourself in like one of these suicide pods in Canada, which is a silly country that should just be taken over. Okay, sorry. Look, you just put yourself in one of these pods, okay, and do nothing, you're just going to deteriorate. Your body's not going to be healthy. You're going to be feeling really bad. You're going to be really tired. Like, our bodies are designed to work, to move, to get up, to get to work. And if you're just slothful, you're just going to be more and more tired, more and more tired. This is why sometimes people will say this. They'll say, like, I'm too tired to exercise. But actually, the reason why you're so tired is because you're not exercising. Like, if you exercise, it actually gives you energy. It doesn't deplete your energy. It's a super good thing for you to do. Stay there. I'll read for you 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You know, I think sometimes people misinterpret this verse or get too much of an imbalanced view on this verse. Well, they'll read this verse and just say, like, hey, exercise is not important. You know, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about exercise. But the Bible actually is saying that bodily exercise is profitable. That's what it's saying. It's saying bodily exercise is profitable, but in comparison to godliness, it's profitable little. Why? Because bodily exercise only profits you in this life. Godliness profits you in this life and the next, right? So obviously godliness is way more important than exercise, but realize that exercise is profitable to you in this life, on this earth, for your whole life. You will have a better time in old age if you exercise your whole life. You will have less health problems if you exercise your whole life. And you will, in my opinion, be able to be a better servant of God if you exercise your whole life. I actually think that it would help your godliness by being fit and in shape. Why? Because have you ever gone up the triple deck apartments when you're soul winning, right? The soul winning apartments that have like three levels on them, right? Hey, if you're out of shape, that's going to be hard for you to do. How are you going to preach the gospel? You're just like, if you were to die today, are you 100%? I think I'm going to heaven. Boom! It's like, come on! Like, we need some level of fitness here. And that actually can transfer over to godliness. But hey, lazy people, are they in shape? Usually not, right? They take the extreme view of this verse, like, oh, bodily exercise, it's not profitable for anything. Don't exercise. What a waste of time. Just read the Bible for 24 hours a day. That's the only thing God wants you to do. No. No, that's not correct. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 13. It says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty." Notice the command for us is to not love sleep. "Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." You know, we should look at sleep as a means to an end, but not the end itself, right? So sleep is something I need so that I could be a high-functioning person, to be a good husband, to be a good father, to work hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sleep is for. Sleep is a tool. But sleep isn't just like the holy grail, like, oh, I just can't wait to go to sleep. All I care about is sleep. No. Like, we shouldn't just idolize sleep and love sleep. The Bible says love not sleep. Proverbs 24, flip over. Proverbs 24, verse 33. "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Notice, people who are very poor, oftentimes it's related to how much they sleep. And people who are very poor often sleep way more than people who are wealthy and people who are successful, okay? I'm going to give you a couple examples of CEOs and what time they wake up every day. And look, I'm not saying these guys are godly men. I'm just saying these guys have succeeded in their craft. These people are successful in the world. So here's one. The Apple CEO, Tim Cook, he wakes up at 4 a.m. every day. He's successful. Elon Musk, he goes to bed at 1 a.m. every day and wakes up at 7 a.m. every day. AOL CEO Tim Armstrong wakes up at 5 a.m. every day. The Square CEO, former CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, wakes up at 5 a.m. every day and goes for a six-mile jog. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz wakes up at 4:30 a.m. and is in his office by 6 a.m. And look, these guys, they're laboring for the meat which perisheth. Obviously, they're, you know, trying to live for this world and to serve themselves and for money. But these guys are successful. And I can tell you one thing that all these guys have in common is that they don't sleep too much. And I'm not saying that as a Christian or in your life, in your job, I don't know your situation, I don't know your sleep schedule. I'm not saying everyone has to wake up at 4 a.m. to be a good Christian. I'm not saying everyone has to wake up at 4 a.m. to be successful, but what I am saying is that you cannot oversleep all the time and be successful. If you're someone that just loves sleep, you sleep too much, that is a recipe for poverty. That is a recipe for not accomplishing much for God in your life. Now, you don't have to turn here. I'm just going to read a couple verses. So just listen to these verses. Genesis 19:27 says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning." Genesis 28:18 says, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning." Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed," speaking of Jesus. John 8:1 says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." So look, it's a very similar theme here that all these hardworking men, the successful people carnally and the successful people spiritually, they all wake up early. They all work hard. They all don't oversleep. Now, I think there might be one really successful man that maybe didn't wake up that early, and this is what I think. I think Acts 27 says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Maybe Paul was more of a night owl than an early bird, but regardless of what time Paul woke up, let's say he woke up at 8, let's say he woke up at 9 or whatever, I guarantee you he wasn't sleeping too much, and I guarantee you he was working hard, and he wasn't loving sleep. He was probably working in the night. Some people have that schedule. That's okay. We know that he was still a hard worker. Go to Proverbs 12. Number one, a lazy jerk refuses to work. Number two, a lazy jerk is habitually messy. Number three, a lazy jerk sleeps too much. And number four, a lazy jerk is a poor steward. A poor steward. Proverbs 12, verse 27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Notice, someone that's lazy, a slothful man, he goes hunting, which I've grown up hunting. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of preparation. You have to usually drive somewhere pretty far. You have to usually buy a bunch of specialized gear in advance, and you have to walk deep into the woods, and you have to, you know where the animals are. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of work. But once he kills his animal, it says that he doesn't roast that which he took in hunting. And think about how crazy that is. Like, when I grew up hunting, like, the whole goal was the meat. Like, that's what you want. That's the whole reason you even go hunting. It's not just so you can just kill an animal, right? It's like, you want that good elk meat. You want that good moose, that good antelope, deer, whatever. It's great, you know? But then the lazy person, he goes through all that, and he doesn't even roast that which he took in hunting. What does he do? This is like the person that starts projects but doesn't finish them. I mean, he thought, I'm going hunting. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to walk into the woods. I'm going to kill this animal. But then he's like, it's a little too hard. I'm out. I'm quitting. Wow, that's pretty crazy, right? That's what lazy people are like. They're not good stewards. They're not good stewards of the blessings that God gives them. God gives them an animal. God gives them meat. They don't even butcher it. They don't even cook it. They just get lazy and give up. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I love this verse in Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Yeah. Think about the parable of the shopping cart, okay? If you are so unjust in the least thing, like if you can't put your shopping cart away, I guarantee you, you won't work hard when no one else is watching you. Right, right. Because putting away your shopping cart is something that no one's gonna praise you for it when you do it. And most of the time, unless the cart narc is around, no one's going to rebuke you for it if you don't, okay? It's just one of those things that it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of integrity. And if you are just unfaithful in the least thing, I guarantee you're unfaithful in other things. If I wish that we could just like look through people's hearts and know if they put away their cart or not, because I guarantee you every hiring manager on earth would not hire someone that doesn't put their cart away, because it shows that they're unfaithful. It shows that they don't care about the least things. I would love to see, I wish that there was a way to scientifically study correlations between like violent crime rates and bastard children and people that don't put away their carts. Because I guarantee you it's related. Why? Because he that is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in much. But someone that puts their shopping cart away when no one's looking, when no one cares, is probably the person that sees a mess at church and just cleans it up when no one praises them. They're probably the person that helps out their coworker and goes above and beyond on the job when it's not even their job task, it's not even their duty. They're just trying to work extra hard. They're probably the person that really gives it their all for their boss, that tries to make the company profitable, that doesn't steal from their boss, the type of person that takes care of the littlest things. And poor or lazy people, same thing sometimes, lazy jerks are poor stewards of the things that they are given. They're poor stewards of the most menial, tiny tasks, and so God doesn't bless them with more. Because when you're faithful with that which is least, God often blesses you with more, right? And so, man, you kids that have your whole lives in front of you, and there's just such unlimited potential in you, and God can just bless you so much, you have such an advantage. I hope that right now, at your very, very young age, you develop a hard-working character. That you put your dang shopping cart away, you throw your trash away, you take care of other people. When you see something on the ground, you pick it up. Why? Just be a good steward at your age right now, and God will bless you. You'll probably grow up to have a great job. You'll probably grow up to have a great career. You'll probably be put in trust with something important. Man, I wish people would just take care of the things that they have, that they would be a good steward. Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, look at verse 9. It says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." Again, what are we talking about? Being a poor steward of the things that you're given. People that are lazy, their brother, they're just the same as people that just waste everything, right? And this is why, who buys lottery tickets? Poor people. Who buys lottery tickets? Lazy people. Why? Because they're wasting the small amount that God has blessed them with. They're wasting it. Who does the most drugs? Poor lazy people. Who drinks the most alcohol? Poor lazy people. Who spends the most on lottery tickets? Poor lazy people. Why? Because they're not good stewards of the things that they've been given. And a lot of times the reason they're in those positions is because of their character issues that we're talking about this morning. It's not like God is up in heaven all the time just like forcing people to be poor. No, a lot of times it's just the result of our own choices. Our own choices. Proverbs 15. I said number one, a lazy jerk refuses to work. Number two, a lazy jerk is habitually messy. Number three, a lazy jerk sleeps too much. Number four, a lazy jerk is a poor steward. And number five, a lazy jerk gives up easily. A lazy jerk gives up easily. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 19. It says, "The way of a slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." This makes me think about how lazy people, they just give up at the slightest inconvenience. The slightest problem that they face, the slightest obstacle, they're just ready to quit. If it's not just like the easiest path possible, then they're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. And this is why customer service, by the way, has gone downhill. It's because our society is just getting more lazy, and they're not trying to do a good job. They're not trying to listen to your special order. They're not trying to pay attention. Why? Just because they're lazy, and they just want to give up immediately if it's not the most easy thing possible. Also, the hedge of thorns, it makes me think about how lazy people, when they're working, all they see is problems. Look, don't be the person that only just presents problems to people. If you're going to point out a problem to people, you should probably have already brainstormed two or three or four or five solutions before you just say, "Hey, here's this problem." It's like, man, Pastor Jimenez cracked me up the other day. I was listening to one of his sermons, and he was talking about this. And he was like saying, you know, some people come up to me, and they just bring up the slightest little problem. They'll be like, "Pastor Jimenez, the printer's out of ink." And he's like, you know, sometimes I just want to tell these people, well, let's just all die then. Just quit the church, quit the ministry. Let's just stop serving God. It's like, or you could go get another thing of ink and put it in the printer. It's like, hey, we're out of coffee. Let's die. Let's quit right now. The sermon's over. We're out of coffee. Or you could make more coffee. Or you could think of a solution. But lazy people, they love to just come up to you. Here's a problem. Ugh. Think of a solution. Come on, stop being so lazy. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 4. I'm just going to start saying that. Let's just all die. That's so funny. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, "A sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." Look, a lot of people will let weather stop them from working hard, whether it's too hot or whether it's too cold. And this is just My observation, having lived in northern states, is you see way less homeless people in these northern states. You want to know why? Because they'll die in the cold. Yeah. They can't survive being that lazy. They'll literally freeze to death. But it's like the beaches of San Diego, and it's like Galveston, Texas, and New Orleans, Louisiana, all these southern areas got a bunch of lazy bums doing nothing. Why? Because, well, they don't really have to worry about the cold. You could just survive doing nothing. The sluggard doesn't plow by reason of the cold. And, you know, think about this as Christians. Hey, don't let the cold weather stop you from going soul winning. Praise God, yesterday at Brother Jason's soul winning time, we had a packed soul winning time. We had tons of people showing up, ready to go soul winning in the cold. Hey, that's the right attitude. Let us have that attitude. Don't go on a six-month hiatus of soul winning in the winter, right? Don't do the same thing in the summer. Keep soul winning, whether it's hot, whether it's cold. Hey, just be tough. Don't be lazy. Don't let things stop you so easily. Turn to 1 Chronicles 11. I'm going to read for you. Turn to 1 Chronicles 11 while I read Proverbs 22, verse 13. It says this, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." So notice, the slothful man, he goes to accomplish some task. He's on his way to work. He's going to do something, but there's an obstacle, a lion. What does he do? He gives up. He says, man, there's a lion out there. I'm done. I'm quitting, right? But what if I told you that there's a man in the Bible that saw the lion and didn't care? He just kept working, okay? Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 22. I love this guy, Benaiah. Benaiah, I think he's from Idaho because it talks about the snow, okay? It says, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. So he's like, it's snowing. He's in a pit. There's a lion there. I mean, you got to be like slipping everywhere in the snow. He sees the lion in the pit. He's like, I'm just going to go and kill it, right? Whereas the other guy, he just sees a lion somewhere in the streets, and he wants to quit, right? This guy, he sees a pit. There's a lion in there. He's like, I'm just going to go down into that pit and kill the lion, right? That's what hard workers do. There's problems. There's obstacles. There's excuses. But you face those things anyways. And what people don't realize is lazy people and hardworking people often have the same excuses. But one person just quits at their excuses, and the other person just keeps working past their excuses anyways. One person who's lazy won't go soul winning because they have a lot of kids. Another person has a lot of kids and still goes soul winning. One person who's lazy and has a lot of kids shows up late to church every single service. And some people have a lot of kids and are always early every single service. They have the same exact excuse. One's lazy, one's hardworking. One has character, one doesn't. That's the difference. Benaiah, it's cold. He's just as cold as the lazy man. He's just as in the snow as the lazy man. He's just as in danger of the lion as the lazy man. But what does he do? He just kills it anyways, right? Hey, just pull out the 44 Magnum and take care of this thing and get back to work. Don't let your excuses stop you. Go to Romans chapter 12. Will be the last place that I have you turn. Romans chapter number 12. So just to recap here, number one, a lazy jerk refuses to work. Number two, a lazy jerk is habitually messy. Number three, a lazy jerk sleeps too much. Number four, a lazy jerk is a poor steward. Number five, a lazy jerk gives up easily. Now look at Romans chapter number 12, just in conclusion here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I started off this sermon by giving you the lesson that God wants to use hardworking people. I hope you could see that now, how against laziness the Bible is. But notice in Romans 12, 1, God wants us to literally present our whole bodies as a sacrifice to him, meaning all of our life energy that we have, our bodies, all of it. God wants to give us all of his strength, all of our might, everything that we have into serving God by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. You cannot do that and be lazy. You cannot follow this verse and be a lazy person. If you're a lazy person, you're not presenting your body a living sacrifice. You're holding back. You're not working hard. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 10. It said, be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hey, let us not be lazy jerks in this world. Let us be good examples as Christians, as ambassadors of Christ, that we're going to serve the Lord with all of our might, with all of our strength, that we're going to be good testimonies, that we're going to be hard workers, not to get money, not to be some famous CEO, but to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us work hard. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the hard workers that we do have here at Steadfast Baptist Church. But I pray that all of us would examine ourselves. We all can get better. We all can work harder. And I just pray that we would lay these things to heart and that you'd bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, in closing, let's go to song number 100. Song number 100, day by day. Song number 100. Song number 100. Everybody sing it out together on the first.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I'm no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto
singing, everybody. You are all dismissed.